we're going to change up topics quite a bit here, going from what's been primarily a macro view to going back to the firm level again. And what we're going to talk about is some financial performance benchmarks. My co-authors, like to thank them, Wade Polk's a risk management specialist in San Angelo, and Rob Hogan, who's here, who's my counterpart in Fort Stockton. It'll probably be a long time before Hasbro or Mattel want to release the Wii game, financial ratio game net. This isn't a topic that a lot of people, you know, get real excited about. It's certainly not what your kids are going to be playing if you get snowed in over the holidays. But it can shed a lot of insight, I think, on in terms of good farm management. Financial ratios in general, and I've got a lot of them listed there, and I certainly don't want to discriminate against your favorite, but they basically can provide a lot of insight on the direction of a business in areas of things like liquidity, solvency, profitability, repayment capacity, and efficiency. And we know with the financial crisis and situation that we've gone through over the last year and a half, some of these terms have become more familiar to the farm operator because they've become more important and more stressed by the ag lender. Recognize as we go through here too, and I know this is just kind of a refresher on some of these things, that some of the management actions that a farmer takes can benefit several of these ratios, but some of the management actions that a farmer can take can benefit one and make the other one look a little less desirable. So there's some trade-offs involved with some of these. And when I talk with farmers about these types of measures, it's a lot like stepping into an airplane for the first time. When I talk about all these ratios and what they do, it's like me looking at that airplane and saying, well, what does this dial do? What does that one do? Which one is important? And recognizing that with the airplane analogy, some of those dials are more important when you're on the ground and less important when you're in the air. And some of them are more important when you're in the air and don't mean a thing when you're on the ground. Well, with a financial ratio, you can pretty much have the same type of dichotomy there depending on where a farm business is in its life cycle. The financial ratios can be more important. Certain financial ratios can be more important as the farm is getting established and growing and expanding. And then they can change and jockey for position of importance as the farm transitions. So the database that we're going to look at today that I'm going to show you comes from our farm assistance operation, farm assistance program, which is a long-term strategic planning tool that we have with Texas AgriLife Extension. Jay works with that program. A number of us work with it. And actually, we had 270 farming operations. There was 202 in the High Plains and 68 in the Coastal Bend and Lower Rio Grande Valley. So the data that I'm going to show you today is actually from 270 cotton farming operations. And you see the numbers there in the associated extension districts, just so that you can kind of get a feel where those particular numbers come from. Now I'm going to focus on three measures of financial performance: profitability, solvency, and efficiency. Just picking out three that measure different things. And I'll start with the very first one, and that's profitability, which we're going to define through net cash farm income. Basically, subtracting all farm operating expenses incurred to create revenues, including interest on debt from gross farm revenue. So basically, if we look at net cash farm income, what we're talking about is returns to unpaid labor, management, and owner equity. If you look at the table, what I've done here is I've categorized our data into four groups. The top 25% of operations based on net cash farm income, the highest. Then the next 25% the third 25, and finally the bottom 25% of operations based purely screened for net cash farm income. You'll notice here that the net cash farm income of the top 25% averaged $520,000 for the farm. The gross net cash farm income was less important to me as an economist than noticing that average net cash farm income per acre was highest for the most profitable group on in terms of net cash farm income. And you'll notice that that is a linear decline as you move down the performance spectrum. So it wasn't just that bigger creates more revenue. In this case, and it didn't have to work out this way, in this case, the bigger operations also had higher per acre net cash farm income, which was interesting. You look at the average farm size characteristics of the top 25%, and as you move from left to right across the screen, you'll notice that there's some exhibiting of economies of size there. The most profitable operations were the largest on average. Really not a whole lot of difference in terms of their ownership or leasing of land, in terms of percentage of acreage that they owned versus leased. There is, I guess you could say it's linear, but not to a great degree. But what you can see here is they did have the highest reliance on leases, both cash and share, which means that the most profitable operations did have an increased reliance on a profitable leasing arrangement. Get down to, now these are the, this is the table with the entire data screened solely for net cash farm income, but I wanted to show you how some of these other measures panned out. Average debt to asset ratio. You'll notice that's also linear as you move from the highest performing to the lesser performing operations, showing a reduced reliance on relative debt. Average operating expense to receipts ratio, again, you'll notice a linear relationship as you move from left to right. The most profitable operations in gross and on a per acre basis were those operations that more efficiently converted expenses into revenues. 64 cents of expenses to generate a dollar's worth of revenues for the most profitable, and that bumps all the way up to 86 cents for the least profitable. Now we take a look at the same data, but we're going to use for our screen this measure of solvency, debt to asset ratio. So if you look at that, the top, in order to be in the top 25%, your average debt to asset ratio was 0.16. The bottom 25%, that it increased to 0.87. And you can see the range there. We had some range 1.97 debt to asset. I don't know who that person's lender was. But the thing about it is it tells you too the kind of the wide spectrum of management that was in this database. True, a strategic planning typically only brings out the innovative, forward-looking producer, but also this particular program was certified as being satisfying required farm lender training through FSA. So there is a fair number of participants who were there to look at bankruptcy and exit strategies. So you see the indication of information on debt to asset, and then I put those other two measures down there. If you screened for debt to asset ratio, now average net cash farm income per acre was not linear. Average operating expenses to receipts was not linear either. And what this basically tells you is that debt to asset ratio tells us one thing, but what it cannot tell us is what kind of debt and what the terms of that debt are. And those two things are going to be very important when you talk about efficiency and profitability. Same database, but now we're looking purely screened for efficiency to begin with. The most efficient operations have a profit have a margin of about 48 cents to be able to pay for non-operating expenses. The least profitable only have about 13 cents to pay for non-operating expenses. Again, if we look at operating expenses to receipts ratio, there's really not much of an economies of size difference as you look at the top 25 to the, go across to the bottom 25%. If you, we do though see the average net cash farm income per acre again linear with this group, and the debt to asset ratio linear again with this group. So this tells us a little bit more that the efficiency, if you look at efficiency and you look at profitability and you screen the producer database on that, a lot of these other measures fall into line. If you look purely at debt to asset, that's not really the case. And again, and the reason is because we don't know a lot about that type of debt and the terms of that debt. Well, that's Texas as a whole. And recognizing that Texas is pretty large, pretty diverse, different types of production environment, I took the database and divided it into two different groups of producers. The top group being the Trans-Pecos Valley, which is far west Texas, High Plains and Rolling Plains. There were 202 producers in that database. And then 68 producers in the yellow area that were in districts comprised of the Central Blacklands, Upper Gulf Coast, Coastal Bend, and Lower Rio Grande Valley. So what I did was I looked at these same measures for these two groups separately. We'll start off with the Trans-Pecos, High Plains, and Rolling Plains, 202 producers in this sample, and this is for 2003 through 2008. Now, in this case, each of the financial measures was screened individually. So Joe Blow producer, if he was in the top 25 on net cash farm income, that did not mean that he was also in the same top 25 measurement for debt to asset ratio. Each one of the database was screened separately for each of these measures, so that if a producer wanted to say that he was in the top 25%, he could have a net cash farm income per acre in the neighborhood of $135 per acre and a debt to asset ratio, or a debt to asset ratio of about 0.18, or operating expenses of about 0.52. Any of those would put him in the top 25%. It's not the same. Not the same producer falling in all of them. These are screened individually. And you'll notice the same kind of things. Of course, these are going to be linear because they're screened individually. But what stuck out to me when I looked at the database for the High Plains region, the top 25% of producers, 81% of their acreage was irrigated. Then it went to 67. Then it went down into the 60% range. We move down to the Gulf Coast, and we see very similar type of metrics in terms of what puts you in the top 25 or the bottom 25 or middle in terms of net cash farm income, debt to asset ratio, operating expenses to receipts ratio. But again, look at the irrigated acres. In that particular region, the top 25% had an average of 3% irrigated. The rest was dry land. And the more irrigation they had, the further down on the spectrum they fell. So that was kind of a peculiar thing I thought that stuck out. So in conclusion, and I got a picture of Tiger Woods up here. Now that didn't mean that his mantra of just do it is what I think management should adopt. The reason I put him up there is because what that illustrates to me is that even the best in the world can make some really bad decisions. And hopefully by putting together some financial benchmarks, it'll give management the opportunity to think about the implications of some of their management actions and think about whether that's the kind of changes that they want to make or not. In general, all we can really say is that operations that had superior financial performance in one area often had superior performance in another. And it makes a lot of sense. Firms that did a good job of managing their expenses relative to generating profits probably were pretty well skilled at deploying those profits for the long-term benefit of the operation. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.